Walmart and the words 15,000 square feet don't normally belong in the same paragraph. Today we'll discuss Walmart's new format and what it means for the future of the retailer on this episode of the Market Basket Report. The Market Basket Report is an independent production engineered and produced at Restaurant Quality Studios in the Lehigh Valley metropolitan area of Pennsylvania. No promotional considerations have been provided. Walmart has epitomized big box retailer for almost as long as the phrase has existed. The very name Walmart conjures images of stark blue and white merchandising landscapes that almost seem to stretch past the horizon. There is no doubt Walmart is a monster in sheer scope, and in other ways too, possibly, depending on your point of view. So why are they looking to go so small scale? The trade media has characterized Walmart's decision as a battle cry meant to strike fear in those spearheading Tesco's fledgling U.S. operation, Fresh and Easy. The most distinguishing factor of Fresh and Easy's concept, besides Tesco's pedigree, is its comparatively tiny size. And as in real life, smaller size equals greater agility. Real estate maneuverability for a retailer means more opportunity to develop outlets and reach a greater share of the geographic market. Maneuverability is one thing Walmart almost emphatically does not have. Or has not had, rather, considering the recent announcement of their market-side banner pilot. The market-side concept mirrors Tesco's considerably, from the emphasis on fresh food and convenience, right down to the small footprint. Walmart has made the foray into smaller format size before with their neighborhood markets, which are still in operation, but those stores are giants compared to the newly announced ones. Rumors and speculation hold that Walmart foresees this venture as a $10 billion incremental chain, though this has been denied publicly. But is it possible? Will this concept be profitable? Is it consistent with Walmart's strategy and image? Many in retail don't understand how difficult it is to be a big box retailer with expansion in mind. Depending on the resources available to the company, it can take several years from a finalized site selection to opening day. Store design, though often altered to accommodate the unique peculiarities or demographics of a site, is relatively standard and perhaps the easiest part of the process. Getting the site approvals and convincing the local community to side with the retailer are other stories. A Stu Leonard's in Farmingdale, New York, for instance, was nearly built before the project was abandoned because of proximity to an airport runway. Also, the not-in-my-backyard mentality has torpedoed many a big-box project, maybe rightly so. Even if a retailer manages to scrape past popular opinion and get a store built, negative press and an uncooperative reputation will dog them for years after. Walmart has snowballed such a reputation ever since its aggressive expansion plans got off the ground, becoming not only the largest retailer in the world, but also, by some estimates, the most reviled. By 2007, Walmart was approaching saturation, nearing 4,000 outlets in the U.S. alone. They were running out of market areas that were not already served. On top of this, viable locations for big box retailing were rapidly becoming more scarce, and this grab for large plots of land had been escalating since the latter part of the previous century. More big box players, adopting the business practices of Walmart and its ilk, were eating up larger and larger parcels of land. Enter stage left being California. Tesco, the UK's largest retailer and one of Walmart's biggest rivals. Walmart went toe-to-toe with Tesco on their home soil, acquiring Asda in 1999 in an attempt to become top dog of that market. But their insistence on big box meant troubled growth in an environment where bureaucracy and population density hold a tight leash on large-scale development. Tesco operated big boxes where they could, but also had several more agile formats to play with, resulting in continuous growth and success. Home field advantage didn't hurt either. Tesco's success against the world's largest retailer and fiercest competitor was certainly a confidence booster. Facing the same saturation problems in the UK as Walmart did in the US, Tesco looked for growth across the pond, but they would enter through the back door on America's sprawling West Coast. Their entry can only be described as aggressive. Small format stores in underserved markets, 71 stores in less than a year. This has sent a clear message to those watching the smoke signals from over in Bentonville. So what exactly is a fresh and easy neighborhood market? 10,000 to 15,000 square feet. Closer to a convenience store than a traditional American supermarket, but with a much larger emphasis on prepared foods and grocery staples. Unlike convenience stores, where the closest thing to a meal is a frozen burrito left flavorless through processing and storing, you can buy an actual meal. Beverages, entrees, sides. Not only that, you can buy ingredients to make your own meals as well. Fresh and Easy's non-perishable selection is considered a focused assortment. You'll get one brand of peanut butter, one brand of jelly, one brand of mustard, one brand of ketchup, and there'll be Fresh and Easy private label. This is not one-stop shopping, the holy grail of Walmart supercenters and other big-box food retailers. This is consumer-specific retailing. You might not be able to get your favorite barbecue sauce, but what you will find, or what Tesco wants you to find, is convenience, health, and value, all at the same location. A location within walking distance of your home. Ever since Tesco announced their new format for the U.S. market, they have been lauded for pioneering this hybrid concept between C-store and supermarket. But what really prompted the development of Fresh and Easy? Fresh and Easy and its homebound predecessor, Tesco Express, owe their genesis to a socioeconomic phenomenon first identified and named in the UK many years ago, the food desert. A food desert is a locale where the general population experiences significant barriers to obtaining quality, healthful, fresh food. This can be a result of the physical landscape of the area or the economic condition of its constituency. While its use in American markets usually refers to heavily urbanized areas with strong fast food penetration and little to no green grocers, the term was originally coined in the UK to refer to rural villages where the lack of public transportation and the closing of local independents impinged on the ability of the local townspeople to obtain quality food within their economic means. Tesco's big box format couldn't enter the high-density urban market without significant trepidation. Likewise, a huge store could not be justified in a sparsely populated rural area without significant high-volume draw. Tesco Express was the nimble format that could fit almost anywhere, benefiting the impoverished youths of the inner city and the enfeebled old ladies of the British countryside, bringing with it the large-scale Tesco's operating finesse and buying power. Once they realized there was no true competitive presence at this level on American soil, no doubt after perusing a few 7-Elevens and other nondescript quickie marts, their next step was inevitable. Fresh and Easy was born. What better way to begin your strategic invasion of a lucrative but competitive market than in a niche with no competition whatsoever? Both, hey, why didn't I think of that, and we better head them off at the pass, started scrambling to come up with a competitive concept of their own. Though not quite as small as F&E, MarketSide has emerged and is poised to strike. Months later, it's Battleground Phoenix, Arizona, as the United States' fifth largest city plays host to the face-off between Fresh and Easy and Walmart's market-side concept. The Phoenix metropolitan area's sprawling nature lends itself to a dotting of small but convenient marketplaces, which will quickly benefit those with limited access to fresh foods. With four initial locations and 10 locations planned, Walmart seems to be taking a much more cautious approach than Tesco. This is a venture unlike any they have previously undertaken, and one can presume they want to do it right. Marketside, like many Fresh and Easy locations before it, will primarily be comprised of units remodeled from unused former retail spaces, and will contain no reference to the concept's corporate parentage. Marketside locations will generally be larger than Fresh and Easy, falling into a range of 15,000 to 20,000 square feet. Much food preparation work will be done on site, which necessitated extra production space. Progress is steady and launches only weeks away. If successful, we can look forward to an accelerated rollout, but right now, everything is still up in the air. Walmart and Tesco are only two domineering players in one of the few industries that still retain strong regional competitors. And they are following these developments with great interest. In fact, many of these competitors have plans on the drawing board, and some have even beat Walmart to the punch with their own iterations. Giant Eagle is scaling up the development of its Giant Eagle Express stores. Safeway's The Market concept, operated by its Vons division, launched under the radar and is more upscale and customer service oriented than Fresh and Easy. Hy-Vee, employee-owned retailer, has debuted its 20,000 square foot format in Lincoln, Nebraska. Even Whole Foods, which already tends to have relatively small footprint outlets, is working on its express concept. So small box is here to stay for a little while, but we still have yet to see if it will represent a watershed concept in retailing as a whole. Can we expect to see Best Buy Expresses and tiny Home Depots in the urban landscape someday soon? Probably not. But it seems ironic that independent urban stores, long outmoded by the big box category killers because of their size, are serving as models for innovation. Because of that very trait. All right, that's this month's show. For more information on Fresh and Easy and a vast array of small format news, check out the Fresh and Easy Buzz blog at freshandeasybuzz.blogspot.com. That's the letter N, not an ampersand or the word and, in between Fresh and Easy. To keep up to date on Marketside from an official perspective, check out marketside.com. Any feedback on today's show may be directed to marketbasketreport@gmail.com. Feel free to write out your observations or record them directly into your computer and send them via email to be featured in a future podcast. Great weekend.